Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Well, as usual, I have way too much stuff, way too overprepared, and it's such an honor to have someone like Dr. Judy Mikovits come to the show that I just do way too much, and I've got a gazillion questions. I probably have like 6 hours of things, you know, floating around here. So I'll try and keep the questions, you know, basic, straightforward, right on target, and just kind of let her expand on them. But it never works out that way because I have quotes and magazines and all these things that are, again, there's so much information floating around about the coronavirus, the vaccines, the dangers, the problems. But she's somebody that's really studied them, and she knows exactly how the molecular biology works. That's what she does. You know, she's a professional there. And so really what I think I want to find out from Dr. Mikovits is just the latest information. You know, where do we stand? What's happening out here? And the fact that we're all becoming sort of amateur virologists as we go through this process, you know, learning terms like gain of function and antibody dependent enhancement, which is how vaccines actually promote the advancement of variants, because normally your immune system would take care of the virus. Our immune system took care of the initial virus. Either the people didn't get it or they got it, like I'm sure I did back in January last year, got over it. So we've got the immunity. So the variants don't affect us because we already cured the original, and the variants are so close to the original that our body recognizes it. Now, if you have a vaccine, the problem is that vaccine is only for the original, which of course, you know, which we think died out, you know, I don't know when exactly. Dr. Peter McCullough said it's been gone for a long time, you know, and so then the problem comes in that, I don't think it's any coincidence that the rise in the Delta variant is directly corresponding to the rise in the amount of people vaccinated. And so this antibody-dependent enhancement that allows the virus to mutate away from the only, you know, virus you're protected from, the one in the vaccine, as opposed to your own immunity, which can adapt, you know, as fast or faster, ideally, than the viruses can change, you know, adapt to the, oh, we know what this is. This is like the other one, you know, so your body, you know, kills that one. But it's fascinating. So anyway, we're going to get Dr. Mikovits on to sort that out. In the meantime, I got Gene. And so we're going to see if we can, we have an announcement. So let me play Gene's theme and then tell you something. One of the big and wonderful changes that are happening here. This is probably the last time. I keep saying the last time I play it. I get so busy doing research and stuff. It's really terrible. Anyway, I'll be back in a minute.
In these times of trial and tribulation, of epidemic and or economic crisis, of personal challenge and societal collapse, there is one place you can retreat, recharge, and re-energize to take on the world. That place is the Life Coach Report with Gene Vernig here on Action Radio. What better way to start your day?
Good morning. Seems like it's going on a little bit longer today. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Greg. How are you? Oh, man. Well, Tuesday it is. I want to just talk a little bit about the coronavirus because...
I'm here. Oh, sorry. Gene, I'm so sorry. Forgot to turn my mic back on. That's such an amateur radio mistake. All right, so I've been talking to you happily away here, and you never heard a word I said. So let me start over again. Gene, do you want to tell them or shall I? We have a big announcement this morning.
Why don't you tell them?
See, this is why I need you, Jean. All right, she's laughing
now.
That's so funny. Why is she not answering my questions? Okay, so here's what happened. Just to confess, you know, amateur radio 101 here. I have to move stuff around at the last minute, you know, to get everything, you know, ready, the microphone up to me, and I turn the mic off. Okay, and every once in a while, about once every 2 or 3 months, I forget to turn it back on. This is that time. So this is why I need Jean. So Jean, I'll make the announcement. Jean's going to be our new producer. Jean's going to start when we're going to work this out exactly. Probably, hopefully next week sometime, but, you know, it just depends on stuff, right? And so Jean's going to do all the things that producers do, screen calls, greet you folks. She's going to run the live chat, which I've never been able to do. So I haven't even turned it on. I've never seen it. Let me try to turn it on now just to see what happens. Don't do that. I lost all my stuff. I did. Oh, it's connecting to the live chat. Okay, so there is actually something. So now that I've lost all my program information, so this is why you shouldn't do things like this in the middle of a program. So now I've got the live chat going, and I don't want the live chat. So now hopefully I can turn it off again. No, I don't think I can. Oh, let's go back to – I figured it out. I can go back to episode info. Okay. Calm down, Greg. This is what happens when I get a big guest on. You know, I get a little nervous, and, you know, I talk faster and do all the wrong things and forget to turn my microphone on. So, yeah. Jean, your turn.
I'm looking forward to it, and all I can say is it's like we'll just laugh through the blunders and learn as we go. So that'll be a good thing. And I'm excited because I'm excited to just be more involved and help this program really hit the masses because it's really needed now more than ever. And yes, there's just so much stuff going on. I think it's a great time as far as what's going on because it's a pivotal time. But what we do can make a big influence, I think, on the final outcome. And so, yeah, I think we need to just get people involved, more people involved, people who are listening. Figure out what you can do, and I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to the people directly who call in, and just talking to you on a daily basis will be fun too.
It's interesting. Today could be one of those days. Today could be one of those days because I've invited a lot of people to call in. We have a problem locally here. Actually, it's Florida-wide, but I've been talking to some of the local folks. There's a hospital called Ascension Sacred Heart. And they are mandating vaccines by November, or everybody's going to get fired. And so I want to talk to Dr. Minkowitz about this because, you know, my concern is this has nothing to do with health. In fact, nothing about this has to do with health. The virus died out, you know, July of last year for all intents and purposes. And everything after that's been propaganda, lockdowns, mask mandates, control, breaking the economy and everything else. But I don't understand. Is it the PR aspect of this that, you know, health organizations are just terrified of one person getting COVID because it's been so demonized and the public's been so terrified? You know, are people just so scared as employers of their bottom line, not the health, but just their bottom line, if they get sued, somebody actually gets COVID for not doing the lockdowns, the mask mandates, and the mandatory vaccines, which, as we all know, are illegal. I post a law on my Facebook page, and it's easy for anybody to read Title 21, Section – I've memorized it. So Title 21, Section 360-BBB, and then just kind of go from there. But why? You're in the health profession. What's going on, Jean?
The thing is, though, there's a couple things that I can't speak for them because I don't know what's in their head. But the bottom line is this.
Mm-hmm.
People that get the shot get COVID. So who's to say a person that has the shot is not the one spreading COVID, number one? And number two, it's like it shouldn't be dictated by the government. And what gets me is before Biden and Harris got into office, when Trump was still around, you know, they couldn't get the vaccine. Oh, no, because you can't trust Trump. Well, why? Biden got into office and now all of a sudden you can trust the vaccine? That makes no sense at all. And another thing, don't go around mandating vaccines when we got the southern border wide open. Look how many people are coming across that are COVID positive and nothing is being done. So if it's federally driven, they have no say in this because they're the ones that are spreading COVID the most by letting the illegals in. And you can say that for the fact that they're sending them all over the country. I mean, it's insane. What was it? One county in the Rio Grande Valley, 900% increase in COVID. And where is that, pray tell? And how many illegal aliens are coming across the border every day. So it's like, I don't know why these hospitals are in fear mode for the fact that even what they say with the COVID or the Delta variant, number one, they knew this was happening in India how long ago, and the government was behind the eight ball because they're like, have no clue what to do. And number two, these people, not as many are being hospitalized. At least that's what I've been told. And I don't know if what we're told is being true or not, because there's so much falsehoods out there. But if there's not as many people there's not as many people dying from it. And so if they say it's true that it's going to be around, it's like, you know, we're always going to have it, then what are we always going to have to go back to wearing masks? Always getting where I work, we're back to wearing face shields. Is that insane or what? And depending on how things go next week, we may be having to do the test back every week again. And why? Why? It's like, yes, you don't want to spread it, but then close the borders, number one. Close the borders. And then why don't you let, why don't they let herd immunity continue to take place? But the thing is, according to the WHO, and I didn't go to the WHO website to actually check this out, but I saw a comparison from, herd immunity. They took out for the coronavirus last year, and I forget between what day, if it was June and November, whatever. It doesn't matter the exact dates. But anyway, they took out the word from herd immunity. They took out through previous infection.
No, herd immunity was changed. The WHO changed the definition. Herd immunity used to be natural immunity. That was the idea. And a certain percentage of the population, and here's the population that's never considered, the population that never got it. Okay. So were they immune already? What is it about people that either had SARS-CoV-1 or had enough resistance already or just naturally healthy? Their immune system took care of it before it went anywhere. They had it and didn't know it. You know, or the people that got it had some symptoms and got over it. That's most of the people. That's a huge percentage of this country. You know, so that is herd immunity. So we had herd immunity by July of last year, you know, because the death rate was heading for nothing. Yeah.
But then other people are saying, if you've had it, you have better antibodies in your system. So it's like, who are we going to believe? I am sure not going to believe Dr. Fauci, because I was listening to something last night. I forget who put it on, but could have been Dan Bongino, but talking about all the time, Fauci said something about masks, wearing masks, not wearing masks, wearing masks, not wearing masks. So how can you give any credibility to him? And also, how can you give any credibility to the WHO? I mean, the WHO is like, oh, my God. And also, here in this country, the CDC, who respects them? Fauci should be in jail. I'm sorry. He should be in jail for what he did, because I would like to know how much money he's pocketed in the last year from the drugs. And the reason I say that, I heard also yesterday that Pfizer, in the last quarter, their profit was $200 million. I'm sure it's
billion.
Even more than that. You know?
Is it 200
so
million?
Like,
million with an M or with a B?
No, an M. But that's still
No, it's way more than that. It's billions. They're making billions. They're making like $20 billion. They're making so much money. They're even raising the prices because they're even getting greedier. Their obsession and their greed knows no bounds. Their hubris and their arrogance knows no bounds because they've got immunity. They can do anything they want. They've got an emergency use authorization. They can do anything they want. I'm convinced now that the FDA is never going to approve these vaccines because that would put them on the hook for liability themselves. Because the FDA, they've already got the vaccine and they're getting the world to take it under an emergency use declaration, all right? So it doesn't make sense for them to ever approve this because they can never say, well, it was always experimental, you know, we didn't know, you know. So no matter what happens down the line, this is like the biggest ass-covering move I've ever seen because they're not only the manufacturer's not liable, this makes the government not liable because they said, well, look, we did it in emergency. We did the best we could. You know, we had to stop COVID. You know, of course, COVID was already stopped a year ago, July. But according to the CDC's own death statistics, blah, blah, and certificates. Anyway, go ahead. But you know where I'm going with this, right?
I was gonna say too. If everybody's supposed to get the vaccine because we could spread it, then I'm sorry. Then Cuomo, Whitmer, Newsom, and I forget the fourth one, they need to be charged because they're the ones that sent COVID-positive people back into the nursing home to look how many people died. If you wipe out all the unfortunate people that that happened to, then look at the percentage of people that actually died in this country of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. Just insane. So it's like, if you want to get the vaccine, go get it. If you don't want to get it, don't get it. Because until there's research that says, one, that it does what it says it's going to do, I mean, why would you want to get a vaccine when, yeah, you could spread it, even if you get it, or if you don't? So what's the difference? What is the difference? And then it's like, well, you're putting healthcare workers at risk because you could possibly infect them. How did that person get it? It could have been from someone already vaccinated. It could not. Who knows? But are we going to get the real truth? Heck no. Because even when they go into the hospital, supposedly they're not looking at people that had the vaccine and counting those. They're just looking at all the people that did not have the vaccine and put those to the number.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a mess.
Why?
You know, there's so many.
It is. It is. So, and regardless who is in office, we may be still in this situation right now. But
well,
I'm
Trump,
sorry,
Trump
like,
is so duped. Trump was lied to so badly. And this is the thing I don't understand, too. And he's still being lied to because he's still coming up with the same thing. Oh, you better get the vaccine. But, you know, from what I know of vaccines, and I'll ask Dr. Mikovits about this, too, a vaccine is supposed to be given to you before you go into the virus area. Like if you go to a foreign country, you know, like they used to, I still have my yellow book from Canada when I went to Europe in 1960-something or other when I was a kid. And, you know, I was vaccinated against certain things, right? Yellow fever, dengue fever, a couple of other fevers, things like that. And the thing is, you get the vaccine before you go in, so you build up the immunity before you go in. That's the idea of a vaccine. If the virus is already here, if the pandemic is already here, being vaccinated is too late. You know, it's the old cart before the horse, you know, or you're closing the door after the horse is already gone. If the pandemic is already gone, if there ever was one, which I sincerely doubt. It was just like a virus, you know, that came through, like flu virus. It's just basically a man-made flu variant. It's what this really is. That's nowhere near as deadly as you know, the good old-fashioned flu that comes to us naturally every year. I mean, that just seems to be what's happening. But to have a vaccine, it'd be like getting a flu shot in the summer for the previous, you know, winter's flu. It makes no sense. So why would you be vaccinated now for a virus that's already gone? It's actually creating the variations, unless the idea is to give the vaccine to perpetuate more vaccine sales. In other words, the more times – it's like the flu shot. The more times you get the flu shot, the weaker your immune system, so the more times you need the flu shot. It's like a self-perpetuating industry. It's like food that makes you hungry, you know, so you get more food.
Right, right.
You know, it's the same kind of thing. Whether Chinese restaurants use monosodium glutamate or things like that. But the old joke about, you know, you're always hungry after, you know, a Chinese meal an hour and a half later. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but the thing is that, you know, that would be the perfect marketing technique is to, you know, eat food that makes you hungry. You know, drink salty things that make you thirstier, you know, or like in the movies, they give you popcorn to make you thirsty. So you buy drinks, you know, it never stops. This is a self-perpetuating business. You know, if car dealers could do that, you know, they would, but instead they have to put a new grill, new headlight, new style, new something to get you to buy this year's model. Cause it's better than last year's. Look, you know, the taillights are a quarter inch higher. You know, I mean, who cares? It's just these minor little things. So we've got this weird situation going on now where people are being sucked into this fear, this unbelievable fear. But here's the thing I don't understand. So, let me actually ask you a question instead of all my ramblings here. We got a little extra time this morning, too, because Shelby's not going to be able to be with us, so we can ramble further. But here's the thing I don't understand. And from a life coach perspective, Americans have seen this before. We saw it last year. We saw mask mandates that didn't work. We've been in a period where there weren't mask mandates and everybody's fine. I don't see the hospitals overflowing. Believe me, if they were, the media would be right there with the lines out the door. Look at this. It's a terrible situation. They're not saying that. The deaths aren't racked up incredibly or they would have immediately had death notices everywhere. The lockdowns obviously don't work because there are plenty of states like Florida and Texas and South Dakota and all kinds of places where they either never had or got rid of their lockdowns and everybody's fine. And yet, they're coming back again, and the fear, you know, I understood the fear the first time. I don't understand the fear this time, knowing that all these things the government is doing obviously don't work, and yet people are all gearing up to do it again anyway. Explain that one if you can.
Well, not even from a life coach standpoint, what it is, and not everybody, because so many people are turning away from mainstream media, But there's still a lot of people that watch mainstream media. And if you listen to what they say, it's all propaganda. But also fear leads to people doing a lot of things. And what are they doing? Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people, even on Fox News and different places, fear. They're fear-mongering. And if you look at it, how many people get the virus, how many people live, but also not only that, the tests. Mm-hmm. The tests aren't even accurate. And so how can you say you have the coronavirus if you're asymptomatic? Was the test a true test? Or was it just, you know, how they collaborate it so that it does show more positive? I don't know. I don't deal with that. But it's like fear is a big thing. And also it's like, When you went through it last year, if they really look at other countries, like you were saying, and look at what other countries are doing, those countries that had the lockdowns did not have a higher number of COVID deaths. And so it's like, also with China, what did China do last year after the COVID, you know, started? They locked down, but did they truly lock down? I mean, how do
see,
you
I got
know?
Conflicting information over that. I've got conflicts. I've got folks that are saying that China did lock down, and I've got sources that say they didn't. You know, so it's hard to know because it's China. I don't think that's really the point. The point is that Sweden did not lock down, and they did just fine. Now, Sweden did have people die from COVID, but most of them died in, like, New York State in nursing homes because they have a nursing home problem. They didn't have a COVID problem. They had a nursing home problem. In other words, they weren't protecting their vulnerable. Okay, but as far as the average healthy person, they never locked down, they never closed the schools, they never did anything, and their COVID reaction is like most people, most countries. You know, the vulnerable were the hardest hit, you know, and the healthy were just fine, and the kids were especially fine. The kids didn't, you know, but they never masked, they never locked down, they never did anything. Proof that all those things were for nothing. So the greatest danger from lockdowns and masks and vaccinations is from the lockdowns, masks, and vaccinations themselves, not from COVID. COVID itself isn't that big a deal, and apparently it died out last year sometime. Again, my statistics from the CDC showed that the death rate, you know, started in January, the end of January, you know, peaked April 15th, tax day, which is kind of ironic, and then went to about 300 or so, I think it was July 4th. So around July 4th, it should have gone to zero or near zero or close to it, depending. Like Sweden went to near zero last year, and they've been there pretty much ever since. You know, because they're cures for this. So that's the other big thing, too, is we have known cures. This is the first disease in history where the cures are illegal. I've never seen anything like this. Explain that one. Why the cure is illegal? You know, why this mass vaccination? Unless you believe as like natural. Let me read you something from National News, and I'll get this to Judy as well. Let me read you a terrifying paragraph. That's not the one. Where's my – oh, no, that's my – I'm trying to arrange my articles in order. I'm on information overload right now, but this I think you'll find fascinating. Where is it? Right. Here we go. Listen to this. Globalists flee to private islands, underground bunkers as they unleash bioweapons, nuke from orbit, plan to decimate the human race with spike protein vaccine injections. I can't post this. If you post anything by Natural News, it's immediately censored and you get a 30-day suspension. But let's read it anyway, because that's what we do here. The biological war against humanity has just shifted from the please come take these friendly vaccine phase to a globalist nuke from orbit stance that plans to force mass extermination injections on the entire human race. The irrational desperation of governors and national leaders to force spike protein bioweapon injections into the masses is a sure sign that this has never been about public health, which I agree with. It has never been about public health.
Rather,
it has always been about compliance with experimental deadly injections that contain gene alteration nanotech alongside toxic particles that are well known to induce antibody-dependent enhancement in victims. It says, while we are witnessing a global extermination event unfolding under the false label of a public health initiative, all broadcast their journo terrorism media, that's a new term, with big tech controlling every conversational narrative and the corrupt criminal science journals in the institution, CDC, WHO, et cetera, conspiring to lie to the very same public they are deliberately working to slaughter with the bioweapons they designed.
Well, they're not even putting all the things that are in the vaccine on the label or making people or allowing people to be aware of it. We got an issue with that as well. Exactly.
Now, I don't know about the nanotech particles. I don't know about the micro. I don't know whatever technology. I'm not convinced of that yet. Okay. But I am convinced, and I'm not sure why, that this is these vaccines, you know, they do have a spike protein. And I got another article here that talks about the real thing 2 years from now. You know, this is only the beginning. The people that are dying initially, whatever it is, you know, preponderance to be weaker, have a response to these messenger RNA. What does Dr. McCullough call? Let me see if I can find that. He calls them gene transfer mechanisms. And or gene transfer treatments. See if I can find. Where's my Peter McCullough thing here? Gene transfer treatment. This is what the messenger RNA thing is, not a vaccine at all. It's a gene transfer treatment. So it's transferring genes to you to modify your DNA permanently. Well, that's not a vaccine. So Dr. Zelenko said the same thing on a debate I was listening to last night. Not only are these things not vaccines, but they don't meet the legal definition of a vaccine. So why are the manufacturers have product immunity when these aren't vaccines? How's that for a question?
But why are they even allowed to call it a vaccine when it's not?
Yeah, it's a gene transfer technology treatment. Gene transfer treatment. I'm going to have to memorize that. It's another term along with gain of function and antibody-dependent enhancement. I'm learning all these new terms. It's quite fascinating. Yeah. Had you heard of any of this stuff before?
Not before this year. I mean, I wouldn't even say not. Well, gain of function, they've been talking about that for a few months now. But no, not before all the pandemic and coronavirus came along. No.
Yeah. We're all becoming amateur virologists for our own safety. Yeah.
But the sad thing is, if you look back at recordings of Gates and recordings of different people saying the pandemic is going to be here on this, I mean, what is he, psychic? And so it's like, what did they know? You know what I mean? What did they know? What were they planning way back when?
Well, this was planned. This has been planned for a long time. In fact, they planned a virus that they could cure with hydroxychloroquine. They just didn't want anybody else to get cured because they wanted to sell the vaccines. So they designed something with a safeguard for them. They had their escape hatch. They had their plan out. You know, but that's the other scary thing is they picked. I think this was picked specifically because it is so curable. So that if any of the elites, any of the health bureaucrats, any of the CEOs of the big pharmaceuticals actually caught this, that they could cure it immediately, they just wouldn't be able to tell anybody else because they wanted to sell their vaccine. So they didn't care how many other people died as long as they could protect themselves. Typical elitists, you know, typical authoritarian kind of thing. Yeah.
And what's sad is the people, like they say, the worst thing you can have done is be put on a ventilator. And look how many hospitals, their protocol was get them on a ventilator.
Mm-hmm.
And if
it was worse than that.
Someone else spoke out about that, boom, they were banished. They were like, you know, wanting to get disbarred from the medical association because they're spreading falsehoods. And look who's spreading falsehoods. It's like, I think people should, I wish people could sue because I think, and I'm not a sue person, but I think this warrants it. I mean, it's insane what they were allowed to do. And if, you know, if they do it once, who's to say they're not going to do it again? The only thing is, when all is said and done, they probably won't have to do it again because, you know, so many of the people are going to be gone. And then what's going to happen?
Well, I had a really sad thought, and I'm thinking to myself, if this is true that in 2 years a lot of these people who got these vaccines are not going to be with us, I have some friends to say goodbye to, and I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to be in a position of having to let people go that I wish I could have helped had they listened to me, because I don't think I could have been more clear over the last year and told everybody I talked to, you know, and everybody that I came in contact with that I could, you know, except for just, you know, like walking down the street stuff, but people I knew, I said, whatever you do, don't take the vaccine. I said, I don't know what's in this stuff, but I know there's something wrong. I said, I know, and the reason I know that this is wrong is because I know we have a cure. I knew we had a cure back March, actually the end of February of 2020. So we're talking over a year ago, before this even got started. You know, as soon as this is how the sequence went. As soon as Trump announced a ban from China, all right, of travel because of some new virus, you know, I didn't even know what the virus was called yet, but he said he banned it or I guess we knew it was COVID-19. I guess they'd given it a name. And then immediately within either seconds of that, it seems that Dr. Fauci started talking about everybody has to get vaccinated. Okay. So that's why I knew they knew. I said, wait a minute. I said, how do they know they have to get vaccinated so quickly from a virus that just came on the scene? Well, it didn't just come on the scene. So I knew something was wrong. So my thought was, okay, and this is how the thought process went. So I thought, okay, well, if they're all pushing a vaccine, let me ask the question that nobody's asking. How do you kill this thing? How do you cure it? And that's when I found the study by Dr. Dubler-Raoult in France, in Marseille, that chloroquine kills COVID. Oh, great. You know, so I knew it. I said, great. And then I heard about hydroxychloroquine. Well, that's a nicer form of it. That kills it too. Okay, good. Then I heard about Dr. Zelenko in April, you know, or was it April? No, it's probably like March. No, I think it might have been April. And he's got the protocol here, and he wrote the president, and the president says in May, this is great. This cures COVID. There is no pandemic. And he was right, but he didn't stick to it. He got talked out of it. And that's the problem. But we knew, anybody that listened to this show, you know, as of March 2nd of 2020 knew that there was no pandemic. We knew we had the cure. We knew that vaccines were a crock because you didn't need it. Either you're going to have natural immunity, you're going to get it, and it's going to give you mild symptoms. You're not even going to notice it. But if you do get, you know, moderate or worse symptoms and you want to treat it, early treatment is best, and here's the cure. We knew it. And we know now that they knew it. They knew it, and they banned it so they could sell vaccines, and that's the crime.
Right, right, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
But will anybody ever get charged? That's the million-dollar question.
Not during the Biden insurrection. Not only did they steal everybody's health, but they stole in the White House. So you can't, you know, when you've got an illegal government, the idea of an illegal government doing more things that are illegal is kind of, you know, routine. You know, it's to
right,
be expected.
Right.
If you allow your country to be stolen by a rogue government and the gelding Republicans refuse to do anything about it, you know, they're just as guilty. You know,
that's
necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing, you know, and but that doesn't make them good people as far as I'm concerned. If you're a good person, you're obligated and, you know, you have to, you know, you're duty bound to do something, to speak up. You know, and if people would share this show, we could speak up a whole lot louder, you know. But, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. And I think people, we need to look at people in government, who's spreading the fear, who is wanting to know the truth. We need to vote out those people that are fear-mongering. It's like ridiculous. So we're going to. I mean, you just wait how long it's going to be. I think we should probably take a wager on how long it's going to be before they want to try to shut down the whole country again. And I hope to God the governor speak up and people, you know, those people from the states that really have more of a say than we do. But I think we also have a say by contacting people and say, hey, we don't want this. And
no, they need to form
there.
Resistance committees. Yeah. Since Josie hasn't called in, I'm going
to
take
we cannot continue to live in fear, because if this thing is going to continue to be around, it's like we need to get on with things. We need to take precautions as much as we can. It's like if you're not feeling good, don't go out, you know, and various things like that. But these lockdowns obviously are not working. All it's doing, well, it is working because it's following their agenda. They want it. Look how many people lost their livelihood last year. Look how many people now are relying on the government. Sad. The big corporations like Amazon, Walmart, look how much money they made. What is this? So we need to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No more lockdowns. Get the truth out there.
Yeah. Oh, your line's fading a bit. I don't know if you're in a bad place or anything. Anyway, I have a new founding moments in the works. I'm going to probably do two this week because I'm getting a little bit behind. But let me just play you how our founding moments got started and my one from the Declaration of Independence, now that we have a break for a few minutes before Josie gets here. So stand by, Gene, and we'll be back in just a little bit.
All right.
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. I am proud to announce a new feature of Action Radio. Santa Rosa Volunteers has commissioned me to bring to you an education in our founding documents, one focused subject at a time. Each week, we will have a new presentation drawing from the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, the Constitution, and who knows, maybe back to Magna Carta. So enjoy learning about your God-given birthright in these vignettes. Share them with your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your friends, in fact, anyone you want to serve, an accessible yet poignant introduction to a lifelong journey in the study and practice of liberty. The whole purpose of these presentations is to inform a generation or two of Americans about the true meaning of our founding. They should have gotten that in school. Since that is not happening, Santa Rosa Volunteers has decided to help change that. If you want to learn more about Santa Rosa Volunteers and maybe get involved, their website is srv1776.com, srv1776.com. Their email is srv1776@protonmail.com. It is their goal to share local community information while encouraging everyone to feel welcomed and informed. Santa Rosa Volunteers says, "Arise, patriots! It is time to take our republic back. The sleeping giant awakens. Arise, patriots, and get involved." Until next time, this is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. For our first founding lesson, I want to start with the Declaration of Independence. Basic to any understanding of freedom and liberty are these words written by Thomas Jefferson. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." You will notice there is no reference to race, color, age, nationality, ethnic group, religion, or any of the common leftist categories they use to divide us. David Azarad, in his article for the Heritage Foundation, titled "What the Constitution Really Says About Race and Slavery," December 28, 2015, says that no such concepts as race exist in the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, or any founding document. Therefore, since our founding documents have no such concept as race, it's kind of stupid of the left to say that we are founded on racism. The truth, folks, is that they simply made it up to suit their agenda of national sabotage and destruction, so that you would learn to hate your country. We hold these truths to be self-evident. No case need be made. It's plainly obvious. All men, meaning all people, are created equal. Granted, your status once you've come into the world is different from everyone else's because we all have different backgrounds, families, cultures, wealth, education, etc. We have differences, vast differences, but we are created equal. The whole concept of liberty, freedom, and rights are all dependent on keeping God above government. When governments believe they are gods, they will dispense rights as they see fit. When people believe they are gods, they will feel entitled to everything you have. True freedom comes only from the understanding and maintenance in government through control by the people that our rights are unalienable, that they cannot be separated from us, ever, because they came from a power higher than government. That we the people, also being a higher power, realize and maintain control over government because all just powers of government come from the consent of the governed. How we give our consent is why I created Action Radio. I'll be back next week with another edition of Founding Moments, sponsored by the Santa Rosa Volunteers. Wow, I'm inspired. That kind of gets me going. Awesome. It puts it all in perspective, doesn't it? You know, and I listen to these things, and when I make them, I don't realize, you know, how, because I'm just trying to, you know, read the words. I mean, I go over the script pretty carefully. This is probably the only thing that is actually scripted on this show are my founding moments. And we have a YouTube channel, too, if anybody wants to get the entire collection as they're building. Action Radio Founding Moments exclamation point is the YouTube channel. And so, yeah, so given that what I was just listening to there, that, you know, I said myself, which is kind of interesting, that these people, these government people that don't have God, that don't have a higher power, that believe they are the higher power and probably the most egomaniac, obsessed, truly, I think, insane at this point person is Dr. Anthony Fauci, affectionately known here as Dr. Fascist. He has no power above him. And he's like self-reinforcing. The authoritarianism where he actually believes his own propaganda. How would you explain that from you know, a psychological perspective?
No, that's very true. He's definitely got some issues. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very deep down. And yeah, I'm not gonna, I got my own suspicions. I don't want to say because I don't want to label someone. I don't want people to accuse me of trying to diagnose someone, but yeah.
Oh, well, don't do that. No, see, I've already diagnosed him. See, I can do that. He is
really.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I don't even beyond a diagnosis. I think he's just evil. Evil.
Yeah.
He's got his own agenda, and he will do anything to push it through. And I'd say greed just
lead the way for him. You can't tell me it doesn't. I mean, how can you stay in public office, well, not public, do his job for over about 40 years, being the highest paid person in the government, and it's like, be as corrupt as he is, and be allowed to get by with it.
Well, see, I think his salary is nothing. His salary is like lunch money to him, even if it's over $400,000 a year. No, his real money, this guy has, I read he has over 1,000 patents, and that doesn't count the royalties he makes as well. I think he's worth billions. I think he's got either a Swiss bank account or something. He doesn't, if he invested it, it'd be pretty obvious he could be traced. But I think this guy's been socking away money like crazy because you have over 1,000 patents. Ever since the Bayh-Dole Act, and I'll talk to Judy about, well, it's not really her area of expertise, but there was an act that said that government employees, unlike private employees, if you were for Bell Labs, and you invented some new technology, then the company who employed you owned, what you produced, because, even though it's your creation, you're working for the company. The company gets licensed it. The company makes the money out. You might have a patent on it, somehow, but it's still, the money goes to the company, because you're working for them. Whereas in the government, if you can use taxpayer money for researching stuff, and if you invent something, a gene or a therapy or a drug or a vaccine, you can patent it. You can patent that both the virus that you created, and the vaccine, and you can license that to pharmaceutical companies to manufacture, and then they will pay you royalties. So not only do you make money off the patent that the vaccine manufacturers will pay you for, you make money off the royalties for the manufacturers using and selling it. This guy's worth billions. I guarantee you. He's a billionaire.
That's
guarantee
illegal.
You.
That should be illegal. He's basically
it should be illegal,
double
but it's not.
Dipping. What I mean by double dipping, how can you trust anything? Look what he did with the AIDS situation. Made it worse. It's like if you are involved with the cure, like coming up with a medication, you should not be telling people what to do about that, because that's insane. That means, how can you trust him with anything? Because you know that he just wants to care
him with
about us. No, never did. His bottom line is the money he can make. And how sad is that? And I can't even say he's using us as a guinea pig, because he's not. He's just using us as a way to get more money, make more money.
Yeah. No, I think he's pure evil. I thought so for a long time.
A trap.
Yeah, that's what do you call him?
I think it's a travesty. I really do. It's like, and people are falling for it. It's like he is as corrupt as can be. And you already knew that the Biden administration was incompetent. Well, I don't even have to say that. But just for them keeping him on with how he handled it with Trump, they should have got rid of him first thing. But they want to keep it going, too.
Well, first of all, there is no Biden administration. they're a rogue criminal operation. And it actually makes sense. So you've got a criminal operation in the White House, maintaining a criminal operation at National Institute of Health, run by a criminal himself, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who I characterize, I can diagnose him. I mean, I don't have the credentials. This is an official diagnosis, but I call him a genocidal, psychopathic vaccine drug pusher. And I will stand by that, because everything he's done shows me that that's who he is and that's what he is. Anyway, let me change the subject for a little bit here before otherwise we can do this for hours. The third police officer who was there January 6th in the Capitol has committed suicide, quote, 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 but nobody knows exactly how. Now, in your vast medical and health knowledge, has anybody who ever committed suicide ever cared to hide exactly how they did it? Because no one seems to know how this person died, even though they say it's a suicide.
No, I mean, how can they say it died when they don't know how he killed himself?
Yeah. That was my question.
That's an oxymoron right there.
And what are the chances of three officers from one event committing, quote, suicide, unquote, after such a controversial event?
Yeah, and my concern would be, too, you talk about that event, but look at what continues to go on in that, in the Washington, D.C. area. That's insane, the lawlessness and all that stuff. And that's another thing I wanted to bring up about this vaccine and masks and all this stuff, that the mayor of D.C. waited. I think she had a birthday coming up too, and waited till after her birthday before the mask mandates were put in place. And after she married a couple too, I think it was this weekend or sometime recently. How can you pick and choose that? Okay, the mask mandate is going into effect August 6th. Because what do you do? Just pick that time out of a hat? I mean, that's insane. But we are, that the sad thing is, we are never going to get down to the nitty gritty of January 6th if the American people, but also the other politicians, don't start speaking up and demanding that we look into it and not what they're doing now. I mean, the shit show that's going on now is insane. You have these people up there crying. Are you kidding me? If you were so worried about that, why didn't you have adequate police there? And if these policemen are up there crying, and yeah, no doubt they were, you know, had all these emotions running through them, but I didn't listen to a whole lot of them talking because I was just like, number one, they are so biased. And number two, you are trained to deal with stuff like this. I mean, what would have happened if they would have lived through 9/11? And been on the ground there and having to go in and get, you know, people from, you know, the burning buildings or whatever was going on, what would they have done? Just stood out there and cried? Or would they have actually done their job? It's like...
Well, do you know how many suicides there were from... that's a good question. How many suicides were there after 9/11 by police and firefighters that were there? Do you know?
I have no idea. And who's to say, well, these people were all Trump terrorists? They were all Trump terrorists. How can you say that? How can you say that? And the one was like, oh, well, I told them I voted for Biden. I was one of them that voted for Biden. It's like, you know what? You should not be talking politics at this time. And if you are talking, I mean, if it's such a horrible time that's going on, you're talking politics instead of trying to calm the crowd, trying to get them to, you know, I mean, stupid. Stupid. And the politicians fall for it, you know, and then to have the people on that committee shift, those people have to go. And it's like, I'm not going to rest happy. Well, actually, until they are put in jail too, for the fact that we look at the people that are still in jail that were there that did nothing wrong. What they walked through
they're political prisoners. They're definitely political prisoners. Let me switch to Josie, who's here. We've got a limited time, so I'm going to skip our theme this week and just get right to Josie. If you want to join this conversation, tell us what's going on at the border, whatever you want to do. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Hi. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Crisis in Colombia. More than 10,000 immigrants are flooding the border in Colombia, and most of them are coming from Haiti right now to make their way here. So, and they're using the country of the Panama to get there. From Panama, they're heading to Colombia, and from Colombia, they'll be brought over here. So this is a mess. Now that the president from Haiti was murdered by our government, they think
it's killers. Do you have evidence of that?
We got a video, I think it's from Paraguay or Uruguay, and they're recording, and it shows some, like, Americans coming in. But the president from Haiti rejected the vaccines, and also he had evidence on child trafficking with the Clintons. And the money, he had proof of how much money the Clintons stole. Well, an idea. And they're saying... the people from Paraguay that it was the Clintons involved in our government that murdered the president from Haiti.
I don't mind speculating as long as we know we're speculating, but if you have sure. proof or something, then we want to know that too. But this is what it sounds like, is that there was a president of one of the African countries. Was it Uruguay you're saying that was killed because he refused the vaccine also?
From Haiti.
Well, I know Haiti, but there's another one. This isn't he's not the first one.
Somewhere in the Middle East, somewhere Africa. I don't know. I don't remember. But somebody was telling me the other day there's another person that was murdered also because of the vaccine.
I'm going to ask Dr. Mikovits about that, too, because you got two places that are very curious. One are the African countries where they all take chloroquine for malaria. that their incidence is very low. And Sweden. Sweden, which never locked down, never masked up, realized that it was a bunch of nonsense anyway, that, you know, those aren't the right solutions. The solution to any virus, you know, is to treat the most vulnerable, protect the most vulnerable. Those that are going to get over it, you know, get over it as quickly as possible, build the herd immunity, and let it go through its normal cycle. You can't stop it from coming. You can't stop, you know, most everybody from being exposed. So give us conditions. The sooner you get over it, the better.
Yeah.
So Sweden actually, you know, so, but if you if you keep people home and isolated and separate, you know, and you scare the hell out of them, then the anxiety alone is enough to lower the immune system to make it worse.
Also in Tapachula, Mexico, there's about 6,000 illegals gathered all together right now at the border, you know.
Well, what's the word from
Guatemala?
What's the word from down south? Because these countries know that their folks are leaving, which is a huge drain of people, resources, you know, money, brain power, and, you know, labor, everything. Yet, you know, they're coming in here, and it seems to me we have in this country, you know, a COVID redistribution program. So that they're bringing in as many illegal aliens with as much COVID as possible to distribute across this country.
A lot of these people are very sick with COVID coming in our country, and Mexico is upset because there's 60,000 right now at the border with Guatemala and Mexico, you know, gathering to come in into Mexico and to head this way because the border is wide open to our country. And they know they're going to get housing. They're going to get – a lot of these illegals are getting 28,000 cash. Especially if you go to New York, New York is giving $28,000 to any illegals to help them out at the beginning. So they're flooding this country. And the agenda of Biden is to bring 30 million illegals to America. That's what he said, and that's what he's trying to accomplish to get. So it is very sad that we have open borders at this time. Because the drugs are coming in like crazy. There's a lot of rape, there's a lot going on. And the agenda, it's very sad what this, I don't know how we're going to get all these people out. But you ask what are the countries are saying, what are the presidents and all these Latino countries leaving. Some of them, they're happy that they're leaving. Because they're replacing them with a lot of Muslims coming in to their country, like Honduras. There must be about 30,000 Muslims already taking over the places of the Latinos or their country.
Why are they happy?
To come this way.
Why are they happy about replacing their people with Muslims? That's weird.
Because they think they're bringing money and they're more educated. I don't know, but it's sad. But the president from El Salvador, what he's doing is he's giving computer, he's giving all kinds of incentives so people can come back to El Salvador. So a lot of people are going back to El Salvador, but the other countries are not. They're fleeing because of the violence. Because, you know, like taxi drivers are being blackmailed in Honduras and Guatemala. People that make tortillas, that they barely make any money, they're being blackmailed too. They have to give so much every week. The taxi drivers have to give like $200 a week to them, and they barely don't make any money. So it's insane. Police are in it with the cartels and the MS-13, so they're afraid. So the police doesn't do anything to those in those countries. It's kind of like here now, our hands are tied because of all the radical communist left we have in power. Our police can barely do anything anymore in this country. So it's worse over there, three times worse in the Spanish countries right now, Central America. It's out of control, literally. And the president from Mexico, he's a communist. He doesn't do nothing. He could shut the borders, but he's not doing it because, you know, they're infecting their country, and they're infecting our country. But those people are not getting tested. They're not doing much at all. They're just letting them go. They're using our military bases, which is a disgrace what this government is doing. And the military head honchos should say, no, we're going to protect the American people. We're not going to be bringing illegals into our bases and distribute them, and that's what they're doing. I called one of the militaries yesterday because I want to go talk to the head honcho at the base here. I'm fed up with all this, what they're doing to our young military men, that they're forced, almost forcing them to get the vaccines. And our hospitals are doing the same thing. I have people almost crying every day in my store, Greg. Yesterday I had a nurse. She said, I don't know what to do. They're forcing us. And there's a team at Sacred Heart, and I don't care to mention the name.
No, don't mention the names personally. Yeah.
All the, I don't care. Sacred Heart is forcing in West Florida, all the hospitals. They're forcing all the nurses to get vaccinated. And there's a team. They're standing up and they're saying, we're not going to get the vaccine. So this lady was crying to me yesterday, young. She must be like mid-40s or something like that. She goes, I think we're about to lose our jobs. So I told him, well, what's worse, your life or your job? You know, you have to make a decision, and she knows it. She knows it's going to be her life. So anyway,
you can mention the hospital. I don't care about that. I just don't want to mention names of people that might get fired, you know, for being on the show.
No,
but
no,
just
no.
Coincidentally, Dr. Judy Mikowicz is on the line, heard exactly what you said about that. And she's one of my heroes here. So I'm going to give her a round of applause. And let's bring her on and get right to that that very question that hospitals and the hospital people, I've talked to hospital people too, they don't want the vaccine. They know what's in it. They know that this isn't proven. They know it's experimental. They know there are risks. They know more than the average folks, and they should be listened to. So how do we, Dr. Mikowicz, first of all, welcome to the show. And secondly, how do we help out our hospital people who are listening now? I've invited all of them to listen in. So you're talking to some folks that could really use some advice. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg. That's quite the way to wake up.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. You're in California, Simon. So is the West Coast, yeah. I understand. Yeah. Thank you for being here early.
Yeah, of course. But I did hear that comment, and I appreciate that. And, you know, we have the same problem, the military and the hospital folks calling me every day. And I simply tell them the same thing. Don't take it. And, in fact, you know, let them fire you or walk out of the job. You know, I guess the word used to be strike, walk away,
mm-hmm.
You know, walk away. And when there are no hospital personnel and we set up, let's say, makeshift hospitals and churches that understand our God-given and constitutional rights and things like that, we can start our own places of sick care and help the people, because the hospital personnel talking to me are saying that 30% of everyone who walks into the emergency room is injured by that vaccine. So 1 in 3, and again, this is what the paper said, you know, last year, that if you got a flu shot, you were 36% more likely to get COVID. So we know what these shots were doing all along. So we've just got to, as a country and as individuals, support each other, as your other guests was just saying, support each other. The nurses need to band, the doctors band, and all walk away. You know, they don't have a hospital without the professionals. So fine, fire. But if everybody walks away, they're the same thing with the pilots, knowing other pilots are dying. There are flight attendants, you know, that knowing people are dying, they don't want to wear the mask. The masks are killing people too. It's time right now. What I've told everybody is, you know, right now, everybody take a 6-month leave from their job, 3-month leave from their job, take a leave of absence, take the semester off of college. Don't go there. Don't go to that school, you know, if they, or any school, if they force the vaccine, just don't do it. It's difficult. I know that, because of course everybody knows that, you know, 10 years ago I took the get fired rather than do something, and they continued on and they took everything from me. But I'm just fine. And I'm not dead. We've just
and we're
got
grateful
to stand
for that.
Up as an individual and the people. We have to, you know, I'm not going to pretend it was easy to lose everything I'd ever worked for. But you know, God provided, you know, more people, more love, I couldn't have imagined it then. It was horrific, and it's been horrific to, you know, to not work in the profession you trained. But, you know, I know that the people that are left in it, you know, sold their souls, and many have lost their lives and have family members that have lost their lives. You know, the lab workers, you know, were the front line. Mm-hmm. And the scientists, the doctors that were being exposed to these things. And I mean all the way back to HIV. My colleagues are dead. My colleagues are dead with cancers. You know, we know these things are deadly. We expected the government to do the right thing when the lab workers, the doctors, the nurses got infected, got sick from HIV that was transmitted through contaminated hepatitis B vaccines, how they spread that epidemic around, lost many friends and colleagues. And yet the government did nothing except experiment on the lab workers. So, you know, it's time to change, you know, the entire system and the entire country and insist that, you know, Tony Fauci, Deborah Birx, everybody at the highest level, Robert Redfield, all these people in the FDA, you know, our food is toxic. Glyphosate causes cancer. Roundup causes GMOs are deadly, and they've known it for 30 years. It's time these people be held liable and really prosecuted. I mean, convicted of crimes against humanity and executed. That's what needs to happen for this never to happen again.
You know, it's interesting, Dr. the Nuremberg. Let me ask you, we got Jean, who's one of our regular, actually we have two regular people. Josie does the South of the Border report, and Jean Vernick does the Life Coach report. So Jean, why don't you go first, because you're probably going to have to leave first. And then I'll get to Josie.
Yeah. No, I was just listening. Oh, my gosh. I totally agree with you. Yeah. They need to start holding these people accountable, because we put our trust and our well-being in what they have to say, and to know that they've totally lied to us, or not even lied, but they lied by omission, and they're just by pushing their own agenda. So, yeah, I am so with you on that. Thank you.
Yeah
they lied by omission,
go ahead,
and
Jean,
they lied. They lied by omission, and they flat out lied about the data. I mean, flat out lied about the data. They twist the data. They reinterpret the data. They use statistics. They flat out lie. The papers they're publishing, like that, was it Lancet or JAMA paper about the hydroxychloroquine? It's criminal fraud, and they've been doing it for a long time, since AZT in HIV. Use those drugs right, and they don't kill anybody. Use them wrong, and they do. And they've known it. You know, this is what Tony Fauci did with remdesivir, and nobody did anything. This is what they did with hydroxychloroquine, and nobody did anything. And when you find out their lies, and you will show the data, which we did, and we never took it back, and it stands this day as proof. And then they just twist and use their statistics, you know, lies and lies and statistics. So it's not just omission. It's plain criminal fraud. They injected HIV in the military. I can't tell you how many military died from PTSD and AIDS and other neuro AIDS and other diseases when they deliberately injected pieces of HIV in those shots into the military and experimented on. That was Deborah Birx and Robert Redfield. They should have been criminally prosecuted.
When was that?
Was
that the Gulf War? Was it the Gulf War syndrome vaccine, or is it the anthrax one, or is it a different one?
Different one. They actually tested an AIDS vaccine, but the same thing's true about the Gulf War and all the things they injected. The anthrax vaccine. That's a movie that memorializes. You know, and the people, the military soldiers. You know, they were court-martialed for not taking it. And there was a senator in Delaware or a congressman in Delaware who did everything he could to stop it in Congress. And, oh, what did they do? They attached the little anthrax scare to 911. Oh, somebody's shipping it through the mail. That was all their criminal fraud. And they killed a scientist, suicided him, an innocent scientist, and blamed him for that out of Fort Detrick. And he was our friend. And he did absolutely nothing. But they threatened his family. They did to, you know, him what they tried to do to me. I'm just fortunate that I don't have any kids. because I might have to make tougher decisions. But every parent, every nurse, every doctor, they need to walk away from these hospitals.
Okay. That's fascinating. I have a ton of questions, but I want to get Josie in here, too, just in case she has to leave as well. Josie, do you have another question for Dr. Mikovic?
Yes. Dr. Judy, it's a pleasure to have you. You're awesome. And I was in Dallas Memorial Weekend, and I kind of miss you there. But I own a uniform store, so I deal with nurses all the time. And some of the nurses are coming to my store like as young as 20 years old with chest pain already from the first shot. And other ones are telling me, like a couple days ago, that they're getting in their computer some information directly from the CDC, like do not give them the hydroxychloroquine or the right medicines to cure the patients. And some of the nurses are in tears telling me about this because they see what's happening. And I said, why don't you walk away, like you just said, and report them? And our military are being forced, almost forced, to get the vaccine. Like they don't have no choice, just about.
So, yeah, I know.
Why don't we come out with a team of doctors and stop this murder? This is murder what's happening in our country.
Yes, it is. And, yeah, that's what we all have to do. One thing we can do for those nurses is, like you said, we can the solutions to the shot are the same things as the solutions. You know, we all know SARS-CoV-2 never was the virus. They circulated again. They gave you the mask. They injected in the flu vaccines and in other vaccines. They knew what was going to happen when they made this synthetic spike protein and injected it into everyone in an adenovirus vector or in a synthetic lipid nanoparticle. They knew that, but the solution is still the same: ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, quercetin, zinc. I'm not saying get the shot, but I'm saying we can help those young women who are who need it, because mm-hmm. ivermectin is going to be a solution. So if you watched the High Wire show last week, you saw some of those women that were badly injured. The ivermectin will alleviate even some of the Parkinsonian shaking, and it's called fasciculations. You can see them, and they have to keep taking it, and we don't know the answers yet. But we know ivermectin mm-hmm. and hydroxychloroquine are going to be on our shelves as vaccines. So those are vaccines. Tony Fauci said it himself in a paper in 2015, hydroxychloroquine is a vaccine. We'll get them the vaccines, not the injectables, and we'll get them, you know, not spreading disease. So we'll find a way. Greg can give you, or you can give Greg your address, and I'll ship you a box of ivermectin. We're buying as much of it as we can, and we'll get the help to the people. But we still have to all stand up and not take the shot. That shot is not the only vaccine to prevent COVID. In fact, hydroxychloroquine will stop contagious Ebola, will stop HIV. You can use these things as vaccines to prevent transmission, which these shots are not vaccines. They do not prevent transmission, and they are causing this Delta variant. As the Seattle newspaper said, the vaccinated are getting sick and spreading disease. So we can stop it. We just all have to stand up.
I want to trace this back a little bit, because you said a whole bunch of amazing things here, and I want to make sure people, including me, have a clear understanding of this. So you're saying there was no SARS-CoV-2, that they were spreading this disease in the flu shots? Let me start back there, first of all.
Yeah. That was a paper by Greg Wolf, study in the military, 2017 and 18. All animal vaccines, viral vaccines, have coronaviruses in them.
Right.
And so the SARS-CoV-2 they were telling everyone was spreading around is a monkey virus. They never isolated that virus with that spike protein from a human with disease, and showed with disease it matters. And a PCR piece of a virus is not a virus. It's not a particle. It's not the infectious particle. And that was just never done. So as David Martin clearly explained, it's clear to me, clearly explained, you know, those sequences have been in that Vero monkey kidney cell line, the Prumport Dietrich, that's been shipped around the world. It doesn't leak out of a lab. You put it in a little vial and you ship it around the world and you grow the cells and they express the virus. That's how viruses are expressed, envelope viruses. You must grow them in cells. So every animal vaccine, whether it's chickenpox, flu shot, MMR, polio, you name it, and meningitis, all of these shots are grown in animal cells, and they all have coronaviruses. So you are injecting coronaviruses, and part of the spike protein is a retroviral envelope called syncytin. And syncytin is in your own genome, and women express it, and men express it at different times. Women particularly in certain phases of menstrual cycle, because syncytia are fused cells. So it's like Velcro that holds the fertilized embryo egg into the uterus. It's like Velcro. And when that gene is expressed, it's waiting for the pregnancy to implant. And when the baby's born, the gene turns off. So you're going to have an autoimmune reaction. So this is why women are having such serious autoimmune reaction. It's one reason. And because when you express syncytin, and we don't know all the times that gene is expressed in our body, but we do know if you express syncytin in the brain and the spinal cord, you get multiple sclerosis. You get the same cytokine storm that is COVID-19. The disease is not the infection. The disease is the inflammation, the fire, the flame that won't turn off. Myocarditis, pericarditis, inflammation of the heart, the muscle, and the pericardium. It's inflammation, itis, brain inflammation. You get PTSD, you get psychosis. You know, you're going to get attacking your tissues, your spleen, every part of the body. And we know this from all the animal studies. And this is why it's deadly, and this is why we are now the animal study, because they knew it was deadly, and they know the first people to die are the most heavily vaccinated, because you're carrying all those other viruses that your immune system shut down. That's antibody-dependent enhancement. It's called pathogenic priming in other aspects, but just at the antibody. If you make the wrong kind of antibodies, that's your Delta variant. And Del Bigtree and Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Robert Malone, they've all explained this for the last year on the high wire, how it would happen. The next time you see a coronavirus, the next time you see that injection, you will make such a strong antibody response from the pathogenic priming that you won't be able to attack other strains of sequences that are in those shots, i.e. the Delta variant. There's no circulating Delta variant. There's no particle that's been isolated. Sure, there are a lot of variant sequences in your body, but if you ever had the infection, whether you got sick from the shot or from the first COVID that went through by way of flu shots, whatever you got, you've got a lasting immunity, robust, durable forever. You're immune. You're not circulating anything. So the nurses that got sick from the first shot, never get another shot, and let's get them hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and quercetin, vitamin C, vitamin D. Let's get their immune system strong. But right now, for this country can be saved if not another human gets another shot, any shot, for the next 6 months, because what you're going to see is you won't see wave 3, 4, 5, whatever they want to bring at you. If you walk away from every one of their shots, walk away from their hospitals. You don't need them. We'll take the nurses and doctors and take care of them. And unfortunately, the military is going to have to walk away too, because they're actually sworn to protect from within, you know, people trying to hurt Americans within and without. So it's their duty to walk away and not commit crimes against other Americans.
Well, I have a bunch of questions. Josie, did you have another question before I sort of launch into another one?
What should the students do? I mean, I had a young girl yesterday. She just got the vaccine yesterday because the school insisted for her to get the shots in order for them to go do clinicals at the hospital. And I was just sad, and I pray with her. I lay my hand on the vaccine arm, and I pray with her, and I think she felt a little comfortable. But what can she do once she takes the vaccine? The vitamins?
That's what I was wondering, too.
You were saying?
What are the treatments for the vaccine?
Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. You injected the disease, the same thing we use to do the other things, vitamin C, vitamin D. Get
herself. That's fascinating. Oh, wait, you're breaking news here. No, this is really important. I want people to really listen to this because I'm going to be talking about this for quite a while, that the same things that cure, and this is why I've always wondered why way back in March when I broke the news about chloroquine from the study by Dr. De La Roe in France, March 2nd we broadcast this and realized there was no pandemic way back then of last year, that the same thing,
right.
I want to make this really clear, the same exact treatments and cures, it's a preventive and a lower dose, it cures at a higher dose, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D, vitamin C, I think also monoclonal antibodies I've heard, but I don't want to get into that just yet. But these basic treatments are the same things that will cure the effects of the vaccine as well as stop the virus. Just want to make that clear. That's what you're saying?
Correct.
Dr. McGuinness?
Because you injected the disease. Absolutely correct. Same treatment. The spike protein caused the disease. You injected the disease. It's not a vaccine. So when you said the word prevention, that's a vaccine. Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. So if we start changing the language, put the vaccine in your pocket and go to work and say never again. Don't let anybody put anything in your arm and walk around with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin C, quercetin is another great one, elderberry, black cumin seed. We've talked several times. I think I even said it a year ago or whenever we talked last. There's a website, drxmd.com, drxmd.com, and this is a legitimate medical doctor we've been working with. He works with many doctors and scientists around the world to get these therapies, natural products and otherwise, on that website for people to get help. They injected the disease. The solution is the same. But one of the solutions is just as it was last year. Do not get another shot. And I mean not a flu shot, not polio, not MMR. Do not get another shot for at least for 6 months in anybody who's been injected, because it's the next shot that will kill you.
Interesting. Yeah, and I had, when I was briefly in law enforcement after 9/11, they forced the hepatitis B vaccine on me. And again, it was the same thing, but we didn't know what we know today. And so, but that one's connected in this too. And I only had one. Fortunately, they skipped me on the second one. They forgot. And I thought, great, because I didn't want the first one. But hepatitis B vaccines that they were pushing on everybody that they give to little kids, that's tied in with this too, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. All the shots, that's what's important. That's why
all the shots.
Kids, all the shots, the kids, that they've been toxic. The Informed Consent Action Network and Children's Health Defense, you know, led by, you know, Bobby Kennedy and Del Bigtree, respectively, backwards. But they did lawsuits over the last 5-6 years before that on all the vaccines and showed not a single safety study was done. Every flu shot, every flu season, it's no different than warp speed. They roll these things out, and they never once do anything other than say, oh, did it kill as many people as last year's flu vaccine? Okay, good. No, it didn't. They don't test it. They don't know what's in it. You know, this is why that large study was done by Greg Wolf, because the 2018 flu season was actually where COVID was introduced. That was where everybody had that horrible cough, and it wasn't influenza. And that you remember the news, take the shot anyway, even though the flu shot is only 10% effective. And this is where when Timothy Cunningham saw the shot, Dr. Timothy Cunningham of the CDC saw the shot killing people and tried to warn people, and he ended up dead, also suicided, killed by the CDC. I mean, this is a dangerous business for scientists and doctors who tell the truth, but we have no other choice. This is, you know, our job, you know, called by God. Some of us didn't get a really good call, but you do it anyway.
And listen, I I feel the same thing. That's why I've written legislation that puts full product liability back on the vaccine manufacturers. And if that ever becomes, you know, nationally known, that we actually have a solution to that. And Dr. Zelenko and I wrote an overhaul of the FDA that they can't make emergency use authorizations on their own, that Congress can do it and the president can do it. So I wrote that specifically in August of last year so that then President Trump could have authorized hydroxychloroquine. You know, that bill had passed. He could have stopped this you know, alleged pandemic immediately.
But
this is our cure.
Alex Azar, the criminal, wouldn't let anyone. Azar, the head of HHS, was the criminal. See, again, we have to clean house. I agree with you. Reorganize the FDA right away. They're supposed to only be safety. They don't get to decide which drugs to use. In fact, a friend of ours walked into a pharmacy with a prescription for ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and budesimide, and for her COVID or whatever they called it. And they just make these things up. Anyway, for her COVID, and the pharmacist refused to fill it, saying it's not FDA approved. And she was smart, and she said, neither is that shot. And she walked away, go to another pharmacist and keep doing it. And thank you for writing the legislation. And I know that UC school systems, you know, there's a lawsuit from that says, no, you cannot force the shot. So educating like we're doing on this show. No, just the students take a semester off. Walk away from your clinicals. Take a semester off. If everybody takes the semester off and these great nurses come serve on the front lines with us, with the Americans Frontline Doctors, with others, come serve and help people. There's so many people that need these nurses. You'll get your clinical practicum, and you'll be a great nurse, and we'll solve this in the next 6 months. If that's all it's really going to take, 3 to 6 months, take a semester off, tour America and join the revolution to go back to our
do something for yourself in your country. I have a lot of nurses listening in and medical personnel from the various hospitals around here and the folks I've talked to. But I post this law that this is my ballpark is the legal angle here. And if you go, and anybody can do this, and I've talked about this before, Dr. Mikvas, I don't know if you're aware of the exact code, but it's 21 U.S. Code, Section 360BBB-3, Authorization for Medical Products, E, Conditions of Authorization, 1, Unapproved Product, that would be the RNA shots, A, Required Conditions, 2, Appropriate Conditions Designed to Ensure that Individuals to Whom the Product is Administered are Informed, and here's the big one, 3, in parentheses, of the option to accept or refuse administration of the product. It's right there in federal law. They can't mandate this by federal law, but they're doing it anyway. Is it ignorance to the law?
Correct.
They just don't care. What's going on? What do you think?
Yeah, it's ignorance to the law, and it's telling people it's the law. The same thing's true about the mask.
Okay.
The code they cite. It's not federal law to force you to wear a mask on an airplane. It is not. Go look at the code they cite. The code they cite says they can stop an infectious disease. Well, number one, there's no infectious disease. And number two, the mask doesn't stop a virus. Sorry. In fact, they cause infectious disease by other kinds of parasites, worms, bacteria that are trapped on the mask. They have asbestos in them. They're against every kind of, here in California, against Prop 65. Says it right there on the package. And so that's what knowing the law doesn't mean you won't get taken off a plane and beat up by a corrupt policeman called Sergeant Spurlock in the Santa Barbara Police Force. Yeah, he'll take an old lady off a plane and beat her to teach her a lesson. Sure, you get that. There are a lot of policemen, there are a lot of firemen, there are a lot of people, and there are, you know, honest people trying to change and get into Congress, honest people who aren't bought, honest people who, like Thomas Ransom, they're filing these lawsuits, people like you, so the Children's Health Defense, the Informed Consent Action Network, the Del Big Tree, the Highwire.com, there are a lot of people out here helping a lot of people. So if everybody walks away and we as a country help the people, we the people take back our country, because it's only a few corrupt individuals and we can take them out of there. Sure, it's not easy to take down Tony Fauci. We've been working on it for 40 years, but, you know, God has a sense of humor, and sooner or later.
Well, you know what I call him, and Josie loves this, I call him the genocidal, psychopathic vaccine drug pusher. That's what he is.
Yeah.
You know, and I said openly, he's genocidal, psychopathic, vaccine drug pusher. Josie, memorize that. I want you to be able to say it by the next time. But that's who he is. I don't mind saying it. This is a free speech zone. We can say whatever we want here. But that's how I think of him. Dr. Mikovits, what do you think?
I got a question. Dr. Judy, if somebody's breastfeeding and they took the vaccine, should they continue breastfeeding? And the other question is, how long that person, because I'm going to reach to this 18-year-old girl that just got the shot, how long can she take the hydroxychloroquine and all the vitamins?
That's a great question. Yeah,
it is a great question.
Well, do you have a protocol?
Probably.
If you could publish a protocol on vaccine recovery or disease recovery using hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, have like a couple of different options for people because they might not be able to get hydroxychloroquine without a prescription, and then they have to find someone to give it to them.
Right.
But if we could, but the thinking, this is what's so brilliant about what you were saying, and I really want people to take this in. Don't think of the shot as a cure. Think of it as disease. You're injecting the disease. So the cure for the disease, whether you get it, you know, in the air or whether you get it through vaccine, and I might be wrong on that. You can correct me, feel free. But the cure is still the same. If you get a shot, you still have to cure the disease. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C. Those same things that cure COVID cure the shot. Have I got that right?
Correct.
Okay, good.
Correct.
Can you get us a protocol that we can
publish? The breastfeeding, yeah. I believe there's a protocol, and I have to reach out to Dr. Z, Dr. Zelenko as well, and others. But I believe that website,
okay.
I'll check it out again right now.
I'll talk
to him too. DRXMD.com has several protocols. I think with the kids and with the breastfeeding, man, that's a tough one. How old is the child? How long has she been breastfeeding?
Josie,
breastfeeding.
I think the baby, she's probably like a year old. Can she still breastfeeding?
I think I would stop because she's got enough of the nutrition and the natural microbiomes and things at that old. We usually said with HIV AIDS, you know, they would breastfeed for like the first 5 weeks and just enough to get the microbiome and everything in there, and then I would stop. And for the mom, I would use the natural products, the quercetin, the elderberry, the black seed, cumin. There's a lot of great things on that site. Get her liver strong so her liver can clear the disease. And the other thing for people, some of these ozonated creams for their skin, you're going to see a lot of rashes breaking out. So ozone. You can go to AAOT, American Association of Ozone Therapy, AAOT.us. And there's a lot of just creams you can put on your skin. And the ozone will break apart the synthetic viral particle, that lipid nanoparticle. It'll break that apart. And then once you break that apart, our God-given immunity can take care of that RNA or anything about it because we have many mechanisms. So we've just got to break up that antifreeze stabilized and the synthetic viral particle that is a very serious part of the toxin, and that was a similar problem in the Gardasil vaccine. The particle alone is particularly deadly. When you see those immediate adverse reactions, it's that synthetic viral particle they're injecting.
Interesting. I got a couple of pretty basic questions here about things like the actual blood clots themselves. You know, I was given blood thinners after open heart surgery when I had a mitral valve prolapse taken care of. And I'm fine. I'm in great shape now. So it was a wonderful surgery. But the question is, they gave me blood thinners, which I think almost caused me to suffocate because my chest filled up with all kinds of fluid and things like that. So my question, though, is on the blood clots themselves. Can blood thinners cure or break up or stop spike protein blood clots?
I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. And those blood thinners like Eliquis actually killed my mom. She got injured by the Prevnar and the flu shot in 2012 because, of course, I just got out of jail and she didn't want to trouble me, and I was called that fraud. So, everything I told her her whole life, she took those two shots. Then she got AFib, a myocarditis, a problem with her heart. Her heart started beating irregularly. They gave her Eliquis. which is one of those blood thinners, and literally congestive heart failure because she was like her lungs filled up with fluid. So
yes, what happened to me?
Blood thinners are a horrible part of the. They're going to cause more problems than they stop, and it's long term. So if you take them a very short period of time, yes,
right.
maybe. But a very short period of time. And again, these blood thinners have been killing people, as have the Prevnar and
Interesting.
For decades, the elderly. Yeah, it's a real problem. And then they give
them for 2 weeks.
Colon cancer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Say that last part again, colon cancer. How does that fit in?
They can give you cancer, sure. As soon as my mom started taking the blood thinners, she got a bleeding hemorrhoid, which is obviously bleeding on the outside. You can
right.
see blood. And her doctor just said, oh, use the hemorrhoid cream or the hemorrhoid stuff. But she was bleeding internally. And so her immune system, her TGF-beta, it's the master regulator that's going to go there and wrap a rope and try to turn off and stop the bleeding. Wrapping a rope around something is a tumor. So she got a bowel obstruction. They called it cancer and killed her.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
It's pretty bad.
Well, but the thing is, people, you know, and even before I knew this kind of stuff, people have to be responsible and actually do the research and do some information and ask some questions. You know, and I went through 5 doctors before I agreed to have the heart surgery, and they all said basically the same thing, and it made sense after I saw the evidence, saw the graphs, saw the charts, saw everything. And so I went ahead and did it. But what I think the problem is,
right.
you know, it's like modern medicine is pretty good at plumbing problems. You know, they can, you know, arteries and valves and things, they can kind of take care of that. But it's the pharmaceuticals where I think the problem was. I only took those blood thinners for 2 weeks and they wanted to put me right back on them. I said, absolutely
yep.
not. I said, there is no way I'm going to take this ever again. I said, my lungs filled up with fluid. They took 4.5 liters of fluid out of my chest.
Yeah.
2 weeks after heart surgery.
And exactly.
And it was the blood thinners that did it. So I was right.
Correct. Correct. And right now what's happening is the vaccinated nurses and doctors for that last question, because nurses go and doctors go into the business to help people. The vaccinated nurses and doctors are making the patient sick. They are transmitting that vaccine. And I was with several cancer patients for their various surgeries or treatment, and they all got that fluid in their lungs. And they're like, oh, and they got the, oh, cut glass appearance. Oh, no, but they have cancer. It's the cancer. It's not COVID now. And it's like, you know, I have to walk away because I'm going to strangle somebody.
It would be justified.
The doctors
but here's a question
nurses
too.
That are in there, in those masks who got those shots, are making their patients sick. And so in the pharmaceuticals, that's their game. Have a customer for life. It's right there on TV, Johnson & Johnson. They hold the little baby and say, we got you for life. Oh, and they're going to kill you faster. And yeah, they do.
It's like tobacco. It's like the cigarette companies that they have to get new customers all the time because they lose so many at the other end. This is scary. It's almost like it's hard to have faith in any kind of medicine anymore unless we almost have to become our own doctors, you know, and I'm learning all kinds of new terms like gain of function research I learned about, and now antibody dependent enhancement I'm learning about. And I was always curious why the rate of these variants rose directly with the rate of the amount of people vaccinated. And I thought there's got to be a correlation here. This is no
Correct,
accident.
Because they're making the antibodies are binding. They're
right.
not neutralizing antibodies. So they bind to the other things. And then you have no weapons. Just think of it that way. You all went off and went after that thing, and the other guy says, you know, and Dell did a beautiful job, Dell Bigtree on the high wire. I believe he just showed that again a couple of weeks ago. He showed as if it's a football team, and you got XYZ, and only X gets the ball, and the rest of the team can't go after X because they're all busy stuck to Y and Z, so the X just runs right through and scores a touchdown. And that's, you know, we know about, it's called immune escape, or it used to be called immune escape. And yes, you know, medicine is totally broken. And I've been my own doctor my whole life, but and started as a nutritional biochemist. We need to go back to nutrition. There's some great products. We're going to try to, you know, great things in the nutritional space. And this is what, you know, the FDA has done. Oh, no, you can't use N-acetylcysteine. So you can't use the product called ProImmune, which is simply clean amino acids, cysteine, glutamate, and glycine. You know, glyphosate ruins our glycine. It's a key amino acid for our antioxidant glutathione. So if we feed ourselves healthy glutathione amino acids in the form of supplements, then we make the glutathione, and that takes out the disease. Not that you don't have to take off the virus. The virus doesn't cause the disease. The inflammation, the flame too high, the dysregulation of your immune system. It's that cytokine storm, which the government's been telling us for a decade in vaccine court. Oh, that doesn't exist. Oh, and all of a sudden COVID-19, it's a cytokine storm. So Dr. Rossetti always laughs at me when I say cytokine storm. Oh, that doesn't exist. You know, oh, it's only local. You know, that thing they inject in their arm, it doesn't go through your whole body. I mean, oh, they inject the Prevnar shot of 22 different bacterial antigens or 23, a boatload of aluminum in one arm, and in the other arm they give you influenza with mercury and four different live attenuated flu viruses.
How can that go through your body?
In the middle. Exactly. It stays at your arm. You know,
your
one of
bloodstream
goes
through your body.
Exactly. That's what they remember in the beginning of COVID, you can still give blood because it's a lung infection. Last time I looked, there was blood in your lungs. I mean, this is the stupidity out of our doctors and the hospitalists. Oh, they're a hospitalist, so they regulate what you can get and what the protocol is. And it is
a hospitalist?
Criminal. Oh, it's. I mean, that's a new term. You can't get another job, or you can't qualify for anything else. So they get all these MDs, and they call them hospitalists. And their job is just to make sure people don't get anything but the drugs that are going to kill them. You know, they won't use the right drugs properly. And you know, I had to suffer all this and learn again with my mom in the hospital in 2018 and 19. You know, a lot of the doctors. The older doctors are simply walking away. They're retiring. They can't do it. They can't stand to watch it and see it. And the young doctors are simply brainwashed. And I'm sorry because my niece is a young doctor, but they're brainwashed. You know, the MDs are taught the MDs. We can't have chiropractors. We can't have naturopathic doctors. We can't have any other doctors. These are the only people that can write prescriptions. Well, you know, we can get these drugs, and we will. We need to take down the cabal that is called the FDA. If a therapy is safe, that's their job. Well, our food is toxic. You're fired. I can't even begin to tell you how I can't understand how Trump didn't utter those words that he's so good at. You're fired. You know what?
Well, that's the thing
I don't
understand
what we
either.
Hired him for.
Who's lying to him? And why can't you talk to him? You should be able to talk. You know, in fact, I'm hoping you can get Dr. Simone Gold on the show because not only is she a doctor, she's also an attorney. She would understand the legislation that we're writing here and be able. But I can't get a hold of her. So we'll talk off the air. But this is so critical is to get this knowledge out there and get people to understand, you know, how dangerous all this stuff is, and that you do have to be your own doctor and you don't have to rely on experts. I mean, I can read the same things that you can read, not as quickly. You don't have to look stuff up, but I can read the surveys and the studies and the things out of Public Health England that says that the Delta variant is 8 times more deadly if you've been vaccinated. I can see all that stuff. I understand that. It's not a big mystery.
Great. Right, because you can't respond. So, and the Delta variant is, you know, your immune system makes these things weaker. So it's more infectious, but it's less deadly, which means you make, and this is what Professor Dolores Cahill said all the way back in March. She said, her expertise is the circulating viruses. Every year there's 7 or 8 circulating coronaviruses, just like there's 7 or 8 circulating influenza viruses. They get weaker because we have immune systems. You don't cripple your immune system so they get stronger, and that's what the vaccinated just did. And so the rest of us are just fine. And I'm sick of the unvaccinated are spreading the disease. Come on, how stupid is that? You didn't inject a poison in you, and you're a very healthy person. I've never, even an AIDS, a HIV-infected person, never isolated virus from a person who did not have AIDS. Big, big difference. If your immune system is totally crippled, I can isolate all the virus all day long. If you're a healthy man or woman or anybody else with HIV, and you're healthy, I'm telling you, you've got an HIV infection and you've kept it dormant, I will not isolate it. It is not expressed. You are not infectious. And you can just watch the TV of PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's AIDS drugs that they give the HIV infected or those who are spending a lot of time with HIV infected. And they get their copy number down to 0. Just watch the commercial. And those drugs used properly are pre-exposure prophylaxis. Prophylaxis, it prevention, is a vaccine. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can also ship AIDS drugs around the world. If you're taking pre-exposure prophylaxis, if you're an HIV-infected individual taking those drugs, Truvada, some of those tenofovir, I don't know all the names of the new drugs. If you're taking them, you won't get COVID. You won't spread COVID. You won't test positive. You know, so these methods work on Ebola, as I mentioned at the top of the show. How did the doctor in Liberia, I won't say his name because he worked here in Ventura, how did he stop the deadly, contagious Ebola outbreak that Tony Fauci released on the innocent Liberians, killing 21,000 of them in 2014? How did he stop it? Hydroxychloroquine. And the young doctor that got sick was wiping himself down, wearing the mask, but they were bleaching the Clorox. The book is called Called for Life in the biblical sense. Kent and Amber Brantley. Kent was the doctor. And you can see right there how he, the thinking doctor, the head of that unit over there, a Christian missionary team, how he cured him. Hydroxychloroquine and zinc, contagious Ebola, and it killed 21,000 people, and a smart doctor stopped it. Saline infusions, keep the immune system strong, pray for him, as we just heard, pray for him, keep him calm. Now he has convalescent antibodies. Those antibodies can be used to keep other people who might not make antibodies well, convalescent serum. That's the whole point. And what were we told is that, well, then President Obama, Tony Fauci stood next to him, and the plane went to the CDC. Everybody will remember it. And everybody had suits on, and everybody had suits on, and everybody wanted to see a peek at the doctor. Is he going in there? Is he going to die? Read the book. You know, they knew, Tony Fauci knew exactly what he was doing, and so did then President Obama. He knew exactly what they were doing. They were testing out their little contagious Ebola released from Fort Detrick. Oh, that same cell line, VIRO-E6, that they sent to Wuhan. That leak out the lab. They've been shipping it out of the lab for decades.
So why did it catch on now? Is it that it seems to me that, going back to the flu thing again, that that what they were calling flu, suddenly this year they were calling COVID, but it's really the same or a similar coronavirus. I mean, the flu and the coronavirus and the COVID, they're not that much different in terms of genetics, are they? It's the same thing, right? Pretty much.
They're subtly different, but they can be recombinant. They can combine into a single virus. And yes, it was in January of 2020, 4,000 people a day were dying of the flu that year that was caused by the shot they gave the year before. They gave the Italians the worst. They gave them one that they cloned H1N1 from the Spanish flu. They cloned the most deadly influenza out of the Alaskans. I can send you the paper, Greg, if you have an email there. And they cloned it. A guy named Reed for the military published a paper. And they know, and they put that pathogenic, most deadly flu virus of the last 100 years. They cloned it, and they put the entire sequence into a database and let anybody weaponize it as a bioweapon. And it was put in that vaccine that went to the Italians and killed so many of them that started this outbreak, that horrible cough. And if you do the PCR and you sequence the products, they weren't coronavirus; they were influenza. So the government just lied. And now every flu season, it'll be pneumonia plus influenza plus corona. And you'll get your three shots now, and you'll get booster, booster, booster. So if people don't wake up, you know, you think it's the COVID shot going to kill you, but it's the flu shot. And we said it last year, and Luc Montagnier said it, and they lied about what Luc Montagnier said. What he said in September of 2020 was, if you've already had corona, the vaccine or the shot, or the actual disease, and you get a flu shot, you risk dying. He didn't say, you know, everybody's going to die and they're hopeless and cremate everybody. We don't want to cremate everybody, because when we do, we can't clone out of the dead people what really killed them. So you can see the game. Cremate them. Cover it up. Remove all of history. Change all of history. Change the textbooks. Make that Dr. Judy Mikovits, all the data that we're talking about, make it all go away. And we'll rewrite history. And forevermore, we'll control those people. And so if we don't take back our own right to breathe air, everything, everyone needs to walk outside, take off the mask. If asked if you're vaccinated, say, I'm good. You got your hydroxychloroquine and your ivermectin in your pocket. You're just fine. It is a vaccine. It is a prophylactic strategy. If you're an HIV-infected individual, hey, put your AIDS drugs in your pocket. I've got those, too, if anybody wants some.
People are doing that. I've got my elderberry zinc lozenges, but I think I need the something. So, in other words, this is like secondhand smoke to the vaccinated, to those of us with, you know, our regular, our original DNA. So we really need, you know, everybody needs to take some kind of hydroxychloroquine prevention vaccine. See, we're so used to the idea that vaccines help. This is psychology we have to get over, that the vaccine is the problem.
Right.
What they're calling a vaccine is the enemy. It's the disease. They're injecting the disease into you, and the cure is the same as the prevention, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. So do you recommend that let me be perfectly selfish here. You know, should I be on my elderberry zinc lozenges, be on a course of preventive or vaccine, you know, hydroxychloroquine to block the effects of the vaccinated on me? Is it like a secondhand smoke effect?
Yes. And that's exactly what we should all be doing. And don't stop touching them. Remember the Dallas Buyers Club? You know, that's the same sort of thing. The men went over and they got the drugs. They didn't listen to Tony Fauci. They got the drugs. They got the peptide T. They got the type 1 interferon. They got the things they need. And yeah, they're all out there. Paxmune, Proimmune, the elderberry, they're all out there, and they're vaccines. So we have to get over that the only vaccine you can have is the one they inject in your arm. And that should never be done again. Nothing should ever be injected. We cannot bypass our innate immune system. When you inject directly into the blood, you bypass your mucosal surfaces. There's a reason why our nose goes down and we breathe in, and our mouth and our gut have all these enzymes that tear these things away. When you get food poisoning, think about Mexico, Montezuma's Revenge. You're not used to drinking that water, so you get diarrhea. It gets out of your body. You cough things to get poison and toxins out of your body. You breathe out CO2, carbon dioxide. You breathe out the poison, and you breathe in the oxygen, and the oxygen runs all your metabolic processes. We have to go back to really understanding what is health, and we lost it somewhere around 1976 or 80 when I walked out of University of Virginia with that degree in natural products chemistry, in using plants as medicine. And yes, well, we have to purify the compounds, but plants as medicine, quercetin, elderberry, you know, know your farmer, not your doctor, as my friend Dr. Zach Bush likes to say. Know your farmer. Eat clean food. Our food is toxic. Get the GMOs. Get all of it. Vaccines are genetically modified organisms. Stop taking them. They're deadly.
All right.
Same thing as your food.
We need to do a nutrition show. Yeah, just wanted to ask a question because I got a couple more. Go for it.
Greg, I got a question. I had COVID 8-9 months ago. Can I get it again?
No, you have lasting, robust, permanent immunity, just like me who had measles when I was 5. You'll never get it again. You're good, but do not get a shot.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I had it back. I think I had it back January when I had this ridiculous cough for 2 weeks. And, you know, and you could hear, I got the show. So, you know, I was looking for guest hosts. Cough that didn't go away. We didn't know what it was because it was early. It was like the end of December, beginning of January 2020. But I still had my taste and smell. I didn't have a fever, so I didn't, you know, really do a whole lot about it. Rested 2 days and was pretty much gone. But I coughed horribly. So if I got an antibody test now, would it show up? You know, is there like a time limit on antibody tests where they'll tell you if I actually had it, or should I not worry about it? Because I've been healthy as all get out.
You
since.
Should have IgG, but I wouldn't worry about it. Another thing people have to do is walk away from their tests. You know, tell you what it says, but is it fraud? Yes, it is. In most of them. I mean, that PCR test. I mean, I can't even believe. I had young men. I was sitting in a restaurant a few months ago, and a young man's like, hey, I bought me one of those PCR machines, and I rented an RV, and I went around the country doing, and I made $200,000. Oh my God! There are no controls, no real natural isolate controls. you just had synthetic things that came out of their lab that they told you, you know, that they're contaminated. You're in a parking lot. Those sequences are all over, as I said, in pandemic, you know, in the beginning. They're in the soil. They're in the beach. The sequences are everywhere. You know, what are you saying? You know, how insane is that? And nobody checked any of these labs. The labs, you know, you're amplifying a million times over, you know, the same sequence. They're amplifying. They're putting it in the spike protein. They're growing in 100-liter fermenters. Think of all of this in that shot, all the spike protein and all their synthetic viruses in the air everywhere, you know, really. It's just, I mean, people wake up, folks. And I'm actually saddened by my scientist friends, my doctor friends who work in those diagnostic labs. And, you know, and they know, and they take their paycheck and they go home, and people need to walk away and say, this is deadly. Yeah, they do what they can to clean up and make sure their tests are accurate, but none of the tests were accurate. None of them ever were. You know, that it was fraud, the whole PCR.
So not
testing,
just PCR, but all the tests you're saying are inaccurate.
The antibodies are the best test, and the FDA wouldn't let you do them. And now the FDA said, oh, don't do the PCR test. Remember last week? Oops.
Right.
It was all contaminated, folks. Oops. Well, don't be fooled by them. Oh, so the FDA is slapping the CDC. Don't be fooled by them. They planned that, part of the pandemic. No more PCR tests, folks. Why? Here's why. Because the vaccine COVID. Do the PCR, and you know if it's the vaccine which made people sick, because you won't find the structural genes of a coronavirus. You will find only the message of the spike protein, right? It's a mRNA. And so if it's a real live virus, you'll get coronavirus structural genes, and you'll get coronavirus protein for the novel SARS-CoV-2. That's how you do it. You look for a conserved region in the family of viruses, and then you look for the specific, the new virus. The Delta variant would have a different spike protein, subtly different, and you theoretically can tell by the sequence. So if you didn't get the real virus, your PCR would only show spike protein mRNA. So do the right PCR. So everybody out there within earshot, you got $1 million, got tens of millions of dollars if you make that test and show it's vaccine COVID, and it's simple. So what did the FDA say? Oh, bad CDC, no more PCR tests. What about the rest? What about the lies? What about the fraud? What about the 100% false positive? You knew that in the beginning, and now the science, the data will always catch up to you. Do the right PCR. Run out and prove it's vaccine COVID. It's V-COVID. And stop all of it. And it doesn't take much. I mean, the Seattle newspaper, you know, said, oh, it's vaccinated, making everybody sick. Vaccinated are getting sick. The vaccinated are in the emergency room. Yep, over and over and over again, whether they lie about why they're in there or not.
So what were those cases of COVID reported before the vaccine came out? Was that just made up? Were those flu cases? What were they?
They were flu cases. Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely flu cases. And this is what John Cullen showed in the citizens' grand juries over the last couple of months. Jason Goodman and Larry Klayman have been doing citizens' grand juries and around the world, Reiner Fulmeich. Yeah, so the first was, it never was COVID. They made it up. SARS-CoV-2 causes COVID. So, no, SARS-CoV-2 was only in the conversation for about a week. And then everybody caught on and said, nope, got isolated with a human with the disease. Well, nobody has a disease. Nobody died of COVID. They died with an infection. Well, I can pull EBV. I can pull every kind of infection, all kinds of influenza, anything you've been exposed to your whole life. Did you die of that? Nope. You died of myocarditis, inflammation of your heart. Nobody, that ground glass, you don't see a virus on an X-ray. And see, now cancer patients are walking in there, or people who have fluid in their lungs. Oops, you got the ground glass appearance on a CT scan. Oh, but it's not COVID now. Oh, it's your cancer now. No, wait a minute. You know, it's the lies are so pervasive that everyone can see the emperor has no clothes, everybody. Yep. Walk away. Don't go near the hospital. and nurses and doctors working there, walk away, go on strike, pilots, flight attendants, walk away, take a leave of absence, take a leave of absence. Do anything you can for the next 3 months. But if everybody walks away and goes back to their life, take off the mask. Don't target anyone so they can't tell who you are. Don't let them label you. And be the Americans. Every one of us stand up for each other, fight for each other in love. Go to your churches. Go to the businesses that treat you like a human being. The AIDS patients, the HIV infected, won a great deal. You cannot test somebody for HIV. You cannot. It's against the law. It should be against the law to test anybody. You cannot. Discriminate. You see them wheelchairing people on planes. Well, what about me with my lifelong cough? I can't wear that mask. Oh, well, you have to, you have to say your disability and you have to say your infection and you can't get on the plane. Well, sorry, tough luck. No, this is America. And I'm not making, in fact, early on, I used to, when they tried to stop me from going into restaurants, I cough all the time, always have. Ruined my parents' marriage, I know. I'm an identical twin, and our lungs didn't form. You're born early, and so I have a lifelong cough. I just always have fluid in my lungs. That's the death, and I'm more susceptible to infection. The last thing I do is wear a mask. Never wore one in a lab, never. Not once. Isolated, HIV, Ebola, you name it, HTLV, XMRV. Isolated, every one of them never wore a mask. You don't cripple your own immune system to fight a virus. You keep it strong and you will never get sick. It's really, really simple, and they don't want you to know. And that's their hurry. Get everybody vaccinated, offer them money, threaten them with their jobs, walk away. Call their bluff.
This is fascinating. Of course, I have more questions than answers. We only have about 3 minutes left.
I got one more.
Okay, real quick. Go ahead.
Dr. Judy, why do you think all the doctors, including some of my doctor friends, and they're taking the vaccine themselves and their wives and family members, and also our pastors, my pastor and my church, we were giving the vaccine to all those innocent older folks in our church. And my heart was like in tears, because I knew when you told us last time, do not take the vaccine, and I trust you. And it breaks my heart.
Yep, mine too, and our doctors and nurses, they do not know. They didn't make these drugs their entire life. I did. They didn't do this gain-of-function research, culturing with the animal cell lines. They don't understand. I did it. I know how the sausage is made. And that's why Tony Fauci can't say anything to me, can he?
Nope.
Come on, Tony, say one word, because I did it. I was there, and I'm fine. They don't know what's in that needle. They never did. They've been lied to in medical school. They've been lied to in college, especially since all liability was removed in 1989. They are not taught immunology. They are taught vaccinology, and the two are not the same, and they're being lied to in our history. Our science is being removed and erased. The doctors don't know. And when they wake up and when they see it, often the realization that they hurt their patients, which no doctor ever wants to do. Any scientist, any healthcare profession, you've dedicated your lives, pastors, to helping people. You truly believe. You don't know. We just keep praying for them like you do, because they don't know, and that's why we're trying everything we can to speak the truth in love and educate them without anger. It's not about me. I'm sitting in my 500-square-foot apartment. I'll never work my job again, but I can teach people. I can educate people. I can just try to help people, and that's all any of us can do, is just try to wake them up and love them when they realize it.
Thank you so much. You're awesome, and I really appreciate you. And I'll have Greg give you my information so you can send me the box of the medicine, okay? God bless.
Sure.
I have to get some myself, and I have a pharmacist that I want to get you in touch with as well. I don't know if we have time for this question, but it seems to me really simply that the what they're giving you in these shots, you know, is I'm having a good question. Our natural immunity, let me ask it this way, takes care of the variants because it adapts to it very quickly. These shots are actually giving us the disease, as you're saying. So can we trust our natural immunity and just boost that? That's really the cure. That's really the key to this, isn't it?
Absolutely. And absolutely, our mucosal, our innate, our very frontline immune response. See, when you inject, you bypass most of God-given immunity, your skin, your gut,
that's right,
your nasal pharyngeal cavity. It's all bypassed when you inject something that never was intended to be seen directly in the blood. Antibody is not your first response. Type 1 interferon is. Plasmacytoid dendritic cells, eosinophils, innate mast cells. You know, you hear mastocytosis because your mast cells are exploding because you've injected it and you've bypassed the natural immunity. We were so afraid of breathing in a particle of virus that our immune system that we might have never known we were infected with. So we injected 50 billion particles of a synthetic virus.
I have to ask
so
some more questions.
Yes, we can trust our God-given immunity.
I love it. We're off the air. I'll send you a couple of questions later. But we need to do a nutrition show, and we need to do a protocol of prevention. And I think that we should start doing the positive. Let's tell people how to recover from these shots and tell people how to prevent them getting the secondhand effects of other people with the shots. Dr. Mikovits, I've been pronouncing your name wrong all this time. Thank you so much for being on the show once again. We have so much work to do, and I'll be talking to you off the air about some different ideas. Thank you again.
Thanks, Greg.
All right. Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. You need to share this show with everybody, literally everybody you know, and you need to get them to share the show with everybody that they know and keep this going. Thank you for listening. Back tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning Central Time.